In the first part of his letter to the church in Corinth, Paul told believers there to stop fighting with each other. But that was only the beginning of their problems. The Corinthians had lots of questions for Paul. They wanted to know if it was okay to eat food that had been dedicated to other gods. They wanted to know which gifts of the Holy Spirit were better than others. They were starting to ask if Jesus really rose from the dead or not. Listen to how Paul answers each of these questions in the second part of his letter.
Now I want to deal with food offered to statues of gods. We know that a god made by human hands is really nothing at all in the world. We know there is only one God. There may be so-called gods either in heaven or on earth, but for us there is only one God. He is the Father. All things come from Him, and we live for Him. And there is only one Lord. He is Jesus Christ. All things came because of Him, and we live because of Him. But not everyone knows that. Some people still think that statues of gods are real gods. When they eat food that was offered to statues of gods, they think of it as food that was offered to real gods. And because they have a weak sense of what is right and wrong, they feel guilty. But food doesn't bring us close to God. We are no worse if we don't eat. We are no better if we do eat. But be careful how you use your freedom. Be sure it doesn't trip up someone who is weaker than you. I am free. I don't belong to anyone. But I make myself a slave to everyone. I do it to win as many as I can to Christ. I have become all things to all people, so that in all possible ways I might save some. Follow my example. I try to please everyone in every way. I'm not looking out for what is good for me. I'm looking out for the interests of others. I do it so that they might be saved. I praise you for being faithful in remembering me. I also praise you for staying true to all my teachings, just as I gave them to you. In the following matters, I don't praise you. Your meetings do more harm than good. First, here is what people are telling me. When you come together as a church, you take sides. And in some ways, I believe it. No doubt, you need to take sides in order to show which of you God agrees with. When you come together, it is not the Lord's Supper you eat. As you eat, each of you goes ahead without waiting for anyone else. One remains hungry, and another gets drunk. I passed on to you what I received from the Lord. On the night the Lord Jesus was handed over to his enemies, he took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it. He said, "This is my body. It is given for you. Every time you eat it, do it in memory of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup. He said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Every time you drink it, do it in memory of me." When you eat the bread and drink the cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again. So do not eat the bread or drink the cup of the Lord in a way that isn't worthy of him. My brothers and sisters, when you come together to eat, wait for each other. Those who are hungry should eat at home. When you come together, you will not be judged. Brothers and sisters, I want you to know about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is given to each of us in a special way. That is for the good of all. To some people, the Spirit gives the message of wisdom. To others, the same Spirit gives the message of knowledge. To others, the same Spirit gives faith. To others, that one Spirit gives gifts of healing. To others, he gives the power to do miracles. To others, he gives the ability to prophesy. To others, he gives the ability to tell the spirits apart. To others, he gives the ability to speak in different kinds of languages they had not known before. And to still others, he gives the ability to explain what was said in those languages. All of the gifts are produced by one and the same Spirit. He gives them to each person just as he decides. There is one body, but it has many parts. Even though it has many parts, they make up one body. We were all baptized by one Holy Spirit into one body. It didn't matter whether we were Jews or Greeks, slaves or free people. The body is not made up of just one part. It has many parts. If the whole body were an eye, how could it hear? If the whole body were an ear, how could it smell? God has placed each part in the body just as He wanted it to be. If all the parts were the same, how could there be a body? As it is, there are many parts, but there is only one body. The eye can't say to the hand, "I don't need you." The head can't say to the feet, "I don't need you." In fact, it is just the opposite. The parts of the body that seem to be weaker are the ones we can't do without. But God has joined together all the parts of the body, and He has given more honor to the parts that didn't have any. In that way, the parts of the body will not take sides. All of them will take care of each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part shares in its joy. You are the body of Christ. Each one of you is a part of it. And now I will show you the best way of all. Suppose I speak in the languages of human beings and of angels. If I don't have love, I am only a loud gong or a noisy cymbal. Suppose I have the gift of prophecy. Suppose I can understand all the secret things of God and know everything about Him. And suppose I have enough faith to move mountains. If I don't have love, I am nothing at all. Suppose I give everything I have to poor people. And suppose I give my body to be burned. If I don't have love, I get nothing at all. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not want what belongs to others. It does not brag. It is not proud. It is not rude. It does not look out for its own interests. It does not easily become angry. It does not keep track of other people's wrongs. Love is not happy with evil, but it is full of joy when the truth is spoken. It always protects. It always trusts. It always hopes. It never gives up. Love never fails. But prophecy will pass away. Speaking in languages that had not been known before will end. And knowledge will pass away. And now, these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the good news I preached to you. You received it and have put your faith in it. Because you believe the good news, you are saved. But you must hold firmly to the message I preach to you. If you don't, you have believed it for nothing. What I received, I passed on to you, and it is the most important of all. Here is what it is. Christ died for our sins, just as Scripture said He would. He was buried. He was raised from the dead on the third day, just as Scripture said He would be. He appeared to Peter. Then He appeared to the 12. After that, He appeared to more than 500 believers at the same time. Most of them are still living, but some have died. He appeared to James. Then He appeared to all the apostles. Last of all, He also appeared to me. So how can some of you say that no one rises from the dead? If no one rises from the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, what we preach doesn't mean anything. Your faith doesn't mean anything either. More than that, we would be lying about God. But Christ really has been raised from the dead. He is the first of all those who will rise. But someone might ask, how are the dead raised? What kind of body will they have? How foolish. What you plant doesn't come to life unless it dies. When you plant something, it isn't a completely grown plant that you put in the ground. You only plant a seed. Maybe it's wheat or something else. But God gives the seed a body just as he has planned. And to each kind of seed, he gives its own body. The body that is planted does not last forever. The body that is raised from the dead lasts forever. It is planted without honor, but it is raised in glory. It is planted in weakness, but it is raised in power. It is planted as an earthly body, but it is raised as a spiritual body. Listen, I am telling you a mystery. We will not all die, but we will all be changed. That will happen in a flash, as quickly as you can wink an eye. It will happen when the last trumpet sounds. The trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised to live forever, and we will be changed. Our natural bodies don't last forever. They must be dressed with what does last forever. What dies must be dressed with what does not die. In fact, that is going to happen. What does not last will be dressed with what lasts forever. What dies will be dressed with what does not die. Then what is written will come true. It says, death has been swallowed up. It has lost the battle. But let us give thanks to God. He wins the battle for us because of what our Lord Jesus Christ has done. Now I want to deal with the offering of money for God's people. Do what I told the churches in Galatia to do. On the first day of every week, each of you should put some money away. The amount should be in keeping with how much money you make. Save the money so that you won't have to take up an offering when I come. When I arrive, I will send some people with your gift to Jerusalem. After I go through Macedonia, I will come to you. I will only be passing through Macedonia, but I might stay with you for a while. I might even spend the winter. Then you can help me on my journey everywhere I go. Be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be brave. Be strong. Be loving in everything you do. May the grace of the Lord Jesus be with you.